Genesis 31, 1 through 16, these are God's words. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. From what was our father's, he has acquired this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then Yahweh said to Jacob, Return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks were speckled. And if he said thus, the streaks shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaks. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift your eyes now and see, all the rams which leap upon the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, Is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. This ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, in which we see that although men may be forgetful of God, God is not forgetful of them. Now that can be a frightful thing, as you see in the answer to the catechism question this week, because God who seeth all things taketh notice of and is much displeased with the sin of having any other God. And so it is not much comfort in life to say, oh, God knows my heart, don't you judge me. Because God is much more rigorous about his law, and he sees more exactly, and he demands obedience even from the heart, and he can see the truth of your heart. And whatever a man says about you, the fact of the matter is that in your heart of hearts you are worse. But if you belong to God through faith in Jesus Christ, if you are his in Christ, just like God had selected Jacob for Jesus' sake, and God is bringing Jacob to faith in Christ, for Jesus' sake, and for the love in which God chose him in Jesus, and for the love in which God sent Jesus for him and for us. If you belong to God in Jesus Christ, the fact that God seeth all things is a comfort. Because repenting of our sin and believing in Jesus, we know that we are right with God, that there is no condemnation for us, but we also know that whatever is done to us, God sees. God sees so much more than we do. In fact, it seems that God is waiting for Jacob to wake up and pay attention. Because when God says, it's on the next page. When God says in verse 12, I have seen all that Laban is doing to you, isn't he saying, you have just now begun to see that Laban's face is not favorable towards you as before, but I have seen everything in Laban's heart and Laban's mind and Laban's plans and Laban's actions. God knew all that Laban was going to do from before the swindling him out of 7 years and the great overpayment, to the wife switching, to the taking the streaked and speckled and spotted and putting them 3 days away. God sees everything that is being done to us, that is being spoken about us, that is being planned. He sees all the animosity, persecution, any evil thing that is ever done to his people can know. God sees that. And what's more, God is turning it for my good. Because there is nothing that an evil man or an evil spirit, the devil himself, can do that God hasn't already ordained for my good. And so God gives Jacob a glimpse of that, because we know that at first there were no streaked or speckled or spotted, at least outwardly, in the flocks that Jacob was taking care of these last 6 years. Why? Because Laban had taken all the ones that looked that way and put them 3 days' journey away. And yet in the vision, Jacob looks and he sees that the rams that are jumping upon the ewes, that are mating with them, are actually streaked and speckled and spotted. Now, in God's providence, he can rule and overrule anything just by the mere force of his will, just by the mere word of his power. If he wishes to break all what we consider to be laws of physics and chemistry and biology, he may do so and support all things perfectly well. And so he can turn the sun back on the sundial, or he can stop the sun in the sky and the earth stops spinning and it stops revolving. Yeah. Who knows how all those things are done? Well, the God whose word does it. Because when everything works according to what we have come to call laws of nature or laws of creation, he is just doing things with such consistency that he enables us to observe and respond and be creative and figure things out and learn and be diligent and all the wonderful things that he has given us to do by the reliability with which he rules all things. So it may actually be that these rams were genetically perfectly providentially selected to be the ones from whom the streaked and speckled and spotted would come. Or maybe it was just God overruling that made them all in such to conceive, and God was just deciding that the children would be children of streaked and speckled and spotted. We don't know. God knows. Just as God sees far more than we do. God knows far more than we do. And the main thing is that what Laban intended for evil towards Jacob, God intended for good. And sometimes our good is not to have our possessions multiplied. Sometimes our good is to lose them all. Sometimes our good is not to have our health improved. Sometimes our good is to have our health decline further. Consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials of many kinds. Why? Because God is doing everything to perfect the work for us that brings us at last to be perfectly happy and perfectly holy forever and ever. And so whatever comes in God's providence, we know that he sees what is done to us, and he will judge, and he will punish. We know that he is working it together for good. And we're grateful that he reminds us that we belong to him and that he is doing this. Jacob has been living so hard by his wits and being outwitted by Laban. And he's been working so hard and been very diligent, and yet it seems up to this point that he's been trusting in himself. It seems even that he is not longing for the land of his family and the promised land of Canaan. And so he says, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. It's an interesting thing when he says return to the land of your fathers, because ethnically speaking, family history speaking, he's in the land of his fathers. It's going to be another 400 years before the land of Canaan or Canaan actually becomes the land of his fathers, isn't it? His family doesn't own anything but a cave in which they buried a couple of people so far. And yet it is the land of his fathers because it is theirs by right of promise, by right of covenant, by right of inheritance appointed to them by God. And so this is, in some ways, a way of God saying to Jacob, return to your family inheritance, which is not a certain plot of land surrounding a cave by Machpelah. Your family's inheritance is my promises. Your family's inheritance is the gospel. Your family's inheritance is being the ones through whom all the families of the earth will be blessed. And most of all, your family's inheritance, God says to Jacob, is me. You see that at the end of verse 3? Return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. And Jacob realizes that this has been his greatest asset all the time. In fact, he says, I see your father's countenance that is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. Verse 5. He's received the instruction and he's repeating it. We don't know what the level of conviction was, and it seems like Rachel and Leah are like, yeah, we think all the stuff should be ours. Do whatever your God has told you. They don't seem to be necessarily responding with a lot of conviction, but at least they are being taught by God, and perhaps he is increasing them in faith to understand, not only to understand and repeat, but also to believe and hope with their hearts. And again, Jacob says, your father's deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. So God sees all things, God knows all things, and he is working all things together for our good. And how badly we need to remember that, especially when there are those who we suspect of planning harm against us or doing that which is harmful to us. We need not to know what is in their hearts, on their minds, or even on their lips. We need to know that God sees it. We need to trust him, we need to obey him, and we need to prioritize his promises to us in Christ. That's the main change that God is commanding for Jacob. Not merely change of geographic location, but change of covenant focus. Living for the promise, which is most of all, that we would be his people. And that he, being with us and giving himself to us, would be our God. Which, of course, he has done and will be forever. Most of all, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray for these, my children, that their life would be a trusting in you, clinging to you, a belonging to you. That what they would do because you have given it and it is right. That they would honor you from the heart, whatever it is that they are doing, whether school or chores or playing or whatever. And I pray that you would help us to remember that we are always before you, that you see all things and that you take notice of all things. And even that you are much displeased when others attempt to harm us, but that you refuse ultimately to allow it and overrule by working everything together for our good. And so teach us, we pray, from this portion of your word and grant that your spirit would keep blessing it to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.